Thank you very much, Mr. Beatty, and thank you for the very special music that was provided. That was excellent. Thank you very much for that. And thank you, Mr. Weber, for giving us an update on your thoughts as to how we should be approaching this coming rest of this year, next year. Because for the past 6 months, we have been in the High Holy Day season. We started this time period with the spring Holy Day season, in which we first observed the Passover that represented the sacrifice of Jesus Christ paying the death penalty for the sins that we have committed. Then we observed the first and last day of unleavened bread when we put leaven out of our homes, which is symbolic of us putting sin out of our lives. Now we've just finished keeping the fall Holy Day season by observing the eighth day representing the Great White Throne Judgment, when all members of the human family will have the opportunity to be a part of the God family. Now we will go for the next 6 months without any High Holy Day observances at all. Of course, we'll still be keeping the weekly Sabbath as the seventh day of the week on a regular basis, but all the activity and the preparation that goes into the keeping of the High Holy Day season will be placed on the back burner. And once again, comes the time for us to repeat the process of observing the High Holy Day season. That process begins with 6 months of high day observance and 6 months of no High Holy Day observance. My wife and I have been observing this process for 50 years now. And like many of you, you may ask the question, what is our religious objective now in this 6 month time break that we're going to be having between the High Holy Day season? In this message today entitled Between the Seasons, we will see that this 6 month time period is not a break for us just to sit back and each man sit under his grape tree or whatever grapevine and enjoy the benefits of all the work that he has done. No, we need to focus upon the lessons that we learn during the High Holy Day season and apply them in our lives as we go through this non-High Holy Day season. Point number one is this: keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Please turn with me to Matthew, the fifth chapter, and we're going to start reading in verse 17. On September the 12th of last year, I presented a webcast message entitled A New Commandment, in which I proved that we not only need to keep the letter of the law, but we also need to keep the spirit of the law. And as we will see here in Matthew, the fifth chapter, 17 through 22, Jesus very clearly says that he is not doing away with the written law, but that he is now enhancing or magnifying the law, which we will see is not a very easy thing to do, but we must do it anyway. Now, here in Matthew, the fifth chapter, starting verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You know, it seems like that's just the opposite of what the world is thinking. They say, oh, no, the law has been nailed to the cross. We don't have to keep the law, those old commandments in the in the Old Testament. No, forget that. No, that's not what Christ said. He says, for assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus made it very clear here. I don't think you can misunderstand that. That we are to keep the letter of the law as recorded in verses 17 through 20. And in my opinion, most of the members in God's church today do a very good job of keeping the letter of the law. They really do. I don't think that's the problem. Not at all. But you see, starting in verse 21, Jesus Christ ups the ante, as the old saying goes in today's society. And let's start reading what that means about upping the ante. Verse 21, you have heard that it has been said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whosoever murders shall be in danger of the judgment. Well, this is the sixth commandment of Exodus 20, verse 13. You shall not kill. That's what Christ was in reference to. But here's where he ups the ante, verse 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Uh-oh. Now, not only do we have to keep the letter of the law, Christ himself is saying, look, it goes even beyond that. If you get angry with your brother and you're saying, oh, I just want to go over there and bust him in the mouth. Well, if you don't have a good cause for that, you just did the same thing in principle as if you'd taken out your .357 Magnum and pulled the trigger and blew a big hole in their head. Christ says that is not what we need to do. With this thought in mind, we need to look at the upcoming six-month period between the seasons and see how society and the church are keeping the commandments. We need to be realistic in our evaluation. That means we need to bring to your attention a couple of observations that I have brought out to the people in the Redlands Church and now have the opportunity to say it to Las Vegas and San Diego. So I'm going to bring us a couple of observations that I think that are good for us to consider here at this time. For example, we know that the master plan that God has for adding members to the God family started with the creation of Adam and Eve approximately 6,000 years ago. The church is taught that the week represents the time frame for that master plan in which each day is equal to 1,000 years. And may I quote for you a reference of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. It's obviously God looks at time a lot different than what we do. That is for sure. Well, for 6,000 years, God has allowed man to rule and do whatever he wishes, of course, within reason, which has proven that man on his own is incapable of following God's law and leading a Christian life. For the last 2,000 years, the church has understood that at the end of the 6,000 years of what God has allowed man to rule on this earth, there will be a unique time in history in which there will be great tribulation, more so than in any other time that has occurred in history. Please turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. We're going to read verses 4 through 12. Here in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 4 through 12, we find Christ speaking to his disciples about this unique time in history. And what is the world is coming around. And we can see now, of course, in times past, there's always been problems in the world. We know that. But at the end time, at the end of this time of man going over to where God's government will take over this world, that is a unique time that has never occurred in times past. Let's start reading here in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Yes, we've had this kind of situations before, but it's going to be increased here at this end time. Verse 9, and then they shall deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness means that people are not keeping God's laws, like Christ said that we should be keeping for the human family, it says that lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. If the love of many will grow cold, it's obvious then that the people are not keeping the commandments. And whenever you don't keep the commandments and you see everybody doing things that are just absolutely the reverse of the way you should live a Christian life, people get upset. And you know, even people who are not in the church, they can see that there is a problem going on in society. I was just listening to a news program on television here just recently. And the lady, she says, wow, what's going on? It just seems like everybody is against everybody else, either on one side or the other side. There's no middle ground here anywhere. It seems that you're either on the left or you're on the right. You're either masked or you're not masked. You're either vaccinated or you're not vaccinated. You're either liberal or you're conservative. You either are anti-religion or you want prayer, for example, in our schools. You either want to defund the police and the firemen, fire them all, get rid of them, or you want more law enforcement for our cities, to protect our cities and the residents of those cities. You know, it seems like when you compare these two and you look at the way people observe the society today, it seems like on one hand, it's okay for somebody to go out and riot in the streets and to throw bricks at a policeman. Actually, some policemen even being shot. I remember one report where people were in a building and they locked the building door so they couldn't get out and set the building on fire. Wow, that is just unbelievable. But you know, if a mother expresses her concern about her children and what is happening to them, oh, that's something wrong. We can't have that. For example, Attorney General Merrick Garland announced October the 4th that the FBI would take the lead on law enforcement response to what Garland said, a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff. All of this call out the FBI because mothers are wanting to protect their children. I can't believe it. You know, it seems like every week I say nothing could get any worse than this. It's such stupid thinking. And then the next week, I'm surprised again. We have more stupid thinking on somebody's part. It's just unbelievable. Well, you know, it's not just in society. It can actually occur with us in the church. In that same fireside chat that he is having with his disciples in Matthew 24, Jesus describes the spiritual condition of the church at the end of the 6,000 years. And let's start reading about that in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Verses 1 through 5. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 1. And then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise, but 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So you can see here that at the end time, we're all having a problem with keeping the commandments, as Jesus said. And remember, when Jesus says keep the commandments, it's not only the letter of the law, it is also the spiritual intent of the law. And God says here at this end time, that's where you and I are at right now. We're being warned by Jesus Christ. He was talking to his disciples at the fireside chat. In essence, he's talking to us today. This is a warning to us. We need to keep it in mind. And it seems like at this point in time, that maybe the first fruits will get a little weary and well-doing. Maybe they don't want to keep the commandments the way they used to have been keeping it. And for them, maybe there isn't any middle ground for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I can remember differences of opinions regarding eating out on the Sabbath, for example. Some people, oh, no, you can't eat out on the Sabbath. If you eat out on the Sabbath, you're making somebody else work. Well, the thing is, they're going to work with you, eat out on the Sabbath or not. Eating unleavened bread every day of the week, the days of unleavened. If you don't do that, then you've sinned. And this latest controversy, though, I think really goes over the top. This is one about being vaccinated against COVID-19, the virus that is going around. Let me make it very clear, the church's position on vaccines and how we should be looking at it. The Church of God leadership has stated regarding being vaccinated against COVID-19, and I quote from the United News in the personal from the president, UCG, Mr. Victor Kubik, on August the 5th, 2021. Quote, "We believe that divine healing is a promise from God, and we claim that promise through faith. We also understand and positively teach that seeking medical treatment, including the administration of vaccines, represents a personal choice. We positively teach that it is not a sin to seek such services," end quote. Well, it seems pretty clear to me that it's up to the individual church member whether they should take the vaccines. It's not a sin if you do take the vaccines. But some members of the church, there isn't any middle ground. And our eternal life depends upon our decision about taking the vaccines. Let me give you an example. At the feast site, my wife and I attended month or so back. A fellow church member was, shall I say, adamant in his opinion in confirming and confronting an elder about someone's spiritual conversion if they were to be vaccinated against COVID-19. This person thought that once you were injected with a vaccine, that vaccine would stay in the body throughout eternity, you know, until you die. And every one of us in this listening to this broadcast can probably ask the same question. We would like to inherit eternal life, just like that rich man, whenever he asked. And the answer applies to us today as called out first fruits, who will be sitting on the thrones of power and authority through not only the millennium, as depicted by the Feast of Tabernacles, but throughout eternity. With the answer Jesus gave the rich man, let's see what that lesson is for us as we go throughout the next 6 months, but start before the start of the next High Holy Day season. Mark the 10th chapter, verse 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Don't take COVID-19 vaccine." Oh, no, I'm sorry, that wasn't it. Jesus knew that the rich man was keeping the commandments or the letter of the law. But the rich man had a problem with keeping the spirit of the law. Please turn with me to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Revelation, the 22nd chapter. We're going to start reading in verse 16. These commandments are the foundation for living a Christian life. And I think that all of us here understand that totally. We do keep the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that God physically gives to us. But there's something that goes beyond that. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verse 6. "Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord of the holy prophets and his angels show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy." We've been keeping those commandments of Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 35, just as the ancient Israelites did. But of course, there is a lot more to keeping God's law than just keeping the physical letter of the Ten Commandments. I am 100% sure, and I don't have to convince anybody here that's listening, that we need to keep the commandments. But we need help. That brings us to point number two. Point number two is this. Study examples on how to keep the commandments. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We're going to start reading in verse 1. As you're turning to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 1, may I suggest that you avail yourselves to the many Christian living products that UCG offers to help us to keep the commandments of God. For example, our website has many messages that you can listen into, sermons. We have booklets that you can order. We have articles there that you can read. Matter of fact, that's what I do most of the time. I go over on the website and you can find all kinds of good things to, I zip all over the place and get a whole bunch of different quotes from different people to pull everything together for a coherent point that I want to make. But let me give you an example. Here we have the Beyond Today magazine. We get this, you know, whenever it comes out. This is the January, February issue. I just happened to pick it up off from the table down in the family room. And it says, how you can help the worn and the weary. That's a good thing to think about. How to cope spiritually in times of darkness. Where does evil come from? God's State of the Union address. Have you really turned your life over to God? These are good things to help us keep the commandments of God the way we're supposed to. Let's start reading here in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, as passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Why? Now, in verse 6, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them. And as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. May I comment on some other things to think about as examples for us to be looking to help us keep the commandments? How about Daniel and his friends? They refused to eat the food of the king and all that. They ate God's commanded type food. And what happened to them? They were in better health than anybody else. They had great health. They refused to worship the golden image, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Matter of fact, the guy that was throwing them in there, it killed him. But did it hurt the boys? No, didn't hurt the boys one iota. How about Daniel being thrown into the and even boom, thrown in there into the den of lions? They were hungry. They were walking around growling and all that stuff. What if you were Daniel sitting there all night long listening to those rotten lions going around saying, boy, I'm hungry. I'm about ready to eat something. But they didn't affect Daniel one iota. Didn't say a thing to him. What we got to remember is this in verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation has overtaken you except with the common that is met. But God is faithful, who will allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you will be able to bear. So we can see we need to keep the commandments. Does that mean that as long as we keep the commandments, the Sabbath and holy day, and we tithe like we're supposed to be, that will be enough for us as we do those things over the ensuing 6-month time period between the seasons? Well, that brings us to point number three. Keeping the commandments is not enough. Please turn with me to Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke, the 17th chapter, we're going to start reading it, verse 1. When the rich man asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life, Jesus told him he needed to keep the Ten Commandments. The rich man responded to Jesus by saying he had been keeping the commandments from his youth, which was probably the main reason why he was rich to start off with. In like manner, every one of us today here need to be keeping the Ten Commandments from the time that God opens our minds into the, and it's just something we need to be doing. The question we need to ask is keeping the commandments all that we need to do? The answer is no. We can keep that, and we will see that Jesus told the rich man, and may I quote for you in Mark, the 10th chapter. Let me finish on with that. And he answered and said to them, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth, the commandments like I'm supposed to. And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go to your way. Sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. But the rich man was sad at his word. He went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. Remember that the scripture applies to us all. That means that we too, even though we're keeping the Ten Commandments, we may be putting something before God. We need to keep that under control. The rich man, he was keeping the commandments, but there was more to it. Here, let's read about it, that not only is it our duty to keep the Ten Commandments, it goes beyond that. 17, Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they come. Verse 6, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Verse 7, and which of you having a servant plowing and tending the sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But he will, will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he has done the things that were commanded him? I think not. Verse 10. So likewise, you, when you have done all these things which you're commanded to do, you are unprofitable servants. You have done what your duty was to do. It's your duty to keep the Sabbath. It is your duty to keep the holy days. It is your duty to tithe. All these things, those are the letter of the law. We got to go beyond. Please turn with me to Galatians, the 5th chapter. We're going to start reading in verse 22 through 24. Using the example of the rich man, all of us here in the Southwest churches have been keeping the commandments, just as the rich man did. But that was our duty. When Jesus told the rich man that he needed to go and do more than just keep the commandments, the rich man failed to take the next step and go the extra mile. It is in this next step and the extra mile that character is built that goes beyond the law. Let's read about that in Galatians, the 5th chapter. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Keeping the commandments is expected of us. And when we go beyond what is expected to of us, that brings us to point number four. Point number four is this. We will be rewarded for keeping the commandments. We'll be rewarded for keeping the commandments. Please turn with me to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke, the 22nd chapter, we're going to start reading in verse 24. Now, over the years, many of you have heard me to explain that we're going to be rewarded for the things that we have done in this life, the commitment that we have made to doing things God's way, following God's law. That reward is not just referring to the future, when we will be pillars in the kingdom of God throughout eternity, but it also applies to us today. Here in Luke, the 22nd chapter, let's start reading in verse 24. And we have an example of that promise that Jesus talks about. Verse 24. And now there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to him, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not a soul among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be the younger, and who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials. Verse 29, this is the key one to think about. But I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, of course, he was talking to the apostles at that point in time, but that applies to us here in the future. Please turn with me back to Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 23. Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 23. Listen, read a little bit more about the reward from none other than our elder brother Jesus Christ here in Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 23. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered them again and said to them, children, how hard is it for you, those who trust in riches, to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 26, and they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, surely I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's. Verse 30, underlined, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, children and lands with persecutions. Put that other little underlined part of your scripture. In the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. That is a promise from Jesus Christ, our elder brother. We will be rewarded even now. Not just so much of you're going to win the lottery and have $50 billion or something like that. That's not it. Money is not the best benefit anyway. It is better to have good health, a happy marriage, do those things that are rotten, right and proper in God's sight. Whenever we do that, we will be happy. We'll be happier than a lark if we follow along with what God tells us to do. I know thousands have dropped the ball. And they said, no, I give up. I'm tired of doing well during doing the things that are right and proper. I just don't want to do it anymore. I'm through with well-doing. You're losing out on a tremendous promise from God, not only now, but in the future. We're going to receive a reward for our labors in Christ. There is a caveat that we must acknowledge, which brings us to our last and final point, number five. Point number five. We will be rewarded, but it's not going to be easy. We will be rewarded, but it's not going to be easy. Let's continue on in Mark, the 10th chapter, starting in verse 28. And as we read these verses, sometimes we don't grasp all that is being said the first time. That's why we need to go back and review these scriptures. And I think that it's a good understanding if we further study into it. Sometimes we fail to see what we previously were thinking about in times past. let's read what it says here in Mark 10, chapter, verse 28. And Peter began to say to them, see, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left houses, brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and children and lands for my sake and for the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers, etc., with persecutions. And that's what I want to focus upon now in this last point, these persecutions. Please turn with me, John, the 16th chapter. John, the 16th chapter. Let's read verse 33. You know, there are many, many scriptures that we could turn to that point out the fact that in this life, even though we're first fruits, we've been called out of this world, we have God's Holy Spirit, we're still going to have trials. God's going to provide a lot of good things for us now in this present age and in the future. But we're going to have trial and tribulation and persecution. Get ready for it. It's going to come. If you're not getting it, call me up. I'll pray for you that you will get persecution. John, the 16th chapter, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Please turn with me now to Romans, the 8th chapter. And we're going to start reading verse 31. You know, this is one of my favorite scriptures to go to, especially in this time period between the end of the fall, holy day season, the start of the spring holy day season. That time period there, you know, things come. We have that persecution. We have that tribulation. And, you know, sometimes we can get back and you say, oh, boy, woe is me. Everything bad is happening to me. Well, whenever you have that kind of thought pattern going on in your life, go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Start reading in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is there anything else that Christ could say? He hit every base there is. We just had the World Series. The Dodgers ran around. They hit every base whenever they made the home run. Christ hit every base here as us, as physical human beings, living this life, this human life here on this earth. And just like he says, neither death nor life. You know, Dennis said that earlier. Yeah, there comes a time when we all die. We're all going to have to kick the bucket. They're all going to throw dirt in your face when they plant you in the grave. But you know what? It doesn't make a bit of difference. I don't care about the death. I don't want to suffer before I die. Matter of fact, I'd like to make it real quick, God, if you don't mind. Because I know that as soon as I die, the next thing I know, I want to be there being called up to Christ, who is returning in the clouds. I want to be up there with Christ. Dennis and I are going to both be going up there at that same time. That I can look forward to. Well, we are between the high holy day seasons. What are we to be doing during this time period? What are the takeaway points that we need to focus upon? Point number one, keep the commandments. Salvation is by the grace of God. You can't earn your own salvation. But that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to keep the commandments, both by the letter of the law and by the spirit of the law. Second point, study examples on how we should keep the commandments. The Bible is just full of them. of all kinds of examples that you can read them and you can say, wow, I'm going to apply that in my life and see how it works. Maybe you're Elijah sitting there by the stream when the stream runs out of water. You ever been in that situation? Elijah was. 3, keeping the commandments, though, is not enough. You got to go beyond that. Remember what we said in Galatians, the 5th chapter? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That is something that goes beyond the Ten Commandments. Point number 4, we'll be rewarded for keeping the commandments. Not only in this life, a reward 100-fold, but eternal life in the future as pillars in New Jerusalem and thrones of power and authority. That's for us. Point number 5, we will be rewarded. But let me tell you, it's not going to be easy. We have to build character, you know. We got to get our act together, as the old saying goes. And that's what we're going to be doing in this year's 6-month time period between the seasons. So consider these points as we keep this time period between the seasons.